Hi, and welcome to the third part of this storage space series here on MVA. In this part, we will talk about performance. My name is Ola Skog. I work as a technical evangelist in Sweden. I still do. I did in the last two parts as well. So, and with me today, I have Michael and Marcus.
Hello.
Who are you?
Hi. Yes, I'm Michael. I'm still an MVP. In something, I work with storage spaces and Windows Server and private cloud and things like that.
And my name is Marcus, and I work with Michael with all the same things.
Yes.
You did that the last two parts as well.
It's true.
So you probably already knew about this. We will talk about some different tools to measure performance. We will talk about the results of these tools. We'll try to analyze them and understand them. And we will do some analysis of these the result that we get from these tools to understand where there can be issues and things like that. But before we do do this, there are some things that we need to understand, things like IOPS and latency and throughput. So let's start with some explanation of these terms.
Yeah, they need to be explained. People are using these words, and some people know exactly what they are and some don't. And let's start with IOPS. I can explain IOPS. IOPS is very simple. It's the input-output operation per second. It's not really performance measuring. It's just this is the number of operations we can do per second. It's something we use to measure it together with other variables as well. And one of the other ones we are using is the latency. We also need to know latency. What's latency?
Latency is the time it takes for you to issue a command and get the response back, just like when you do a ping. That's also a latency test.
Yeah, I have that issue when I talk with my kids. There's a huge latency between that conversation. I don't know if anybody else have the same problem.
But I would like to add that for IOPS, when you talk to vendors, they will claim all different kind of IOPS, and it's quite hard to compare them between different systems.
Yes.
Not the IOP by itself, but the way you measure them, because IOPS is depending on the block size. So if you do reads or writes of like 4 kilobyte blocks, you will get a lot of IOPS because you can do a lot of small transfer at the same time, compared to if you do large chunks of data, where you get a much smaller amount of IOPS. So that's why it's important to compare IOPS with the same block size.
Yes, and also even if you do measure IOPS and the vendor claims that this should perform the following numbers, well, it depends on the interface it's connecting with, the performance of the computer. So since you're measuring the entire chain, there's a lot of moving parts, or not moving, but it's a lot of parts between the interface you're using and the actual operations of the disk. But there's one other thing we do measure. Wait, this was latency and IOPS. One more.
Of course, throughput. We want to know how many megabytes or gigabytes we get per second from a system.
And here's the thing. People always believe that we are trying to measure the maximum amount or something like that. It's not really that's the reason why we do the measure. We want to see that the system is consistent, that it does deliver the same amount of data all the time. So we have nice and steady curves, and none of the disks are deviating, so that we don't have one black sheep in this giant bunch of disks. And we also focus on the low latency. So we really need to have a low latency. If a disk performs a massive amount of IOPS and the latency is like 45 milliseconds, it's unusable.
Yes, because more or less, if you pass 3 milliseconds, if a response takes more than 3 milliseconds to get back to you, you will notice performance impacts in the system.
Yeah.
The users will complain that things are slow, sluggish, and you will have to improve that.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to hear the things like, when I log on to the server, it takes a while, but that's okay. But then when I click the start button, nothing happens. Then it happens after a second or something like that. And that is very common to be a latency issue. So when we reach 3 milliseconds, we also assume that this system is now congested, it can't do any more deliveries.
Yes, and just to stress that, when we talk to customers, they always focus on the IOPS, mm-hmm. the number of IOPS they get. And they tell us, oh, well, we're only using 600 IOPS, and mm-hmm. we should be able to get, let's say, 3,000. But if they get 5 milliseconds or 10 milliseconds latency, that will be slow. And with storage spaces and scale-out file servers, you can get the latency both between the storage servers and the enclosure and the drives, yeah. but also on the network between the Hyper-V hosts and the scale-out file servers.
Yeah, so that's why we have two points of measuring. We always start measuring on the storage spaces nodes themselves. So we only have the server through the SAS cabling down to the drive. That's the first measure point. If we can't make that work, or we get bad performance, there's no point of measuring the next step, which is from the hypervisor itself. And then we also usually
do a third test.
Yes.
Which is from inside the virtual machine.
Yeah.
To see what kind of point-to-point result we get.
Yeah. And we know that's going to be slightly slower because it's going to run through another layer, but it should be in parity to the second measure.
And we will have some examples of this later on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I guess one reason the customers are talking a lot about the IOPS is because, I mean, the vendors are talking about it, and we at Microsoft are also have been talking a lot mm-hmm. about it lately, so I guess a lot of people focus on that. But we want to stress that you need to measure a lot more than just the IOPS.
Yeah. And one thing that is really good to have is some base numbers, some baseline numbers. So for instance, if you pick up a SAS drive, what is expected for a SAS drive? What's expected for a SATA drive? So we do have some of these numbers. And
let's have a look at those.
Yeah.
So around 150 IOPS. Something like that mm-hmm. for a SAS drive?
Yeah, for a normal HDD, you should get something between 150 to 200 IOPS,
yeah.
roughly.
So if you're within that range, there's probably nothing wrong with your
exactly.
For one drive.
Yeah, there was one drive.
Yeah.
Which means that we do have customers saying, well, you know, I'm building storage spaces and it's really slow. And then we say, wow, that's boring. That's really sad. So what's the issue? Well, I have these two drives and I don't get 10,000 IOPS. Okay, so you have two what drives? I have two SAS drives. Okay, you can expect to have about 400. No, I would like to have more. Well, then you need more drives.
And that's when we get back to the number of columns that we spoke
yes,
about last time.
Exactly.
So you basically take the number of columns times the IOPS per drive to get a rough estimate
yeah.
of the number of IOPS you should be able to get from your solution.
Exactly. An SSD drive, of course, is much better on delivering IOPS, but it doesn't have a better through output usually. It's just more IOPS.
It's the same reasoning when you work with data disks in Azure, for example. You add more drives and you get more IOPS.
Yeah, exactly. It's very simple.
But also remember that there are other bottlenecks. For example, if you take 10 SSD drives,
mm-hmm.
one SSD drive will deliver about 50 to 60,000 IOPS.
Yes.
So 10 of those would in that case give 500 to 600,000 IOPS.
Yeah, I like that.
I would like that.
Yes.
But unfortunately, mm-hmm. we then have the HBA.
Yeah.
The storage controller, which will be the bottleneck. So you won't be able to get that amount of drives or IOPS if you don't use multiple HBAs.
Exactly. So now the problem is there's always going to be a bottleneck somewhere. Will it be in the PCI slot? Will it be in the bus? Would it be in the cable? Would it be in the HBA? Would it be on the controller on the other side? Would it be in the...
And in the first part, the architecture part, we looked at the performance
yes, yeah.
architecture where we had to use a lot of HBAs to get the
exactly,
performance
exactly.
that we wanted.
So that's why.
Okay, so throughput important, latency very important, IOPS important. I mean, they are all important.
Yes,
but you need to measure them all.
Yeah.
So maybe we have some other tips as well. I mean, we this is quite simple, I guess. But you've been out to a lot of customers, and you sometimes have a problem because they want you to measure stuff, and
mm-hmm.
they want you to measure things
that is already in production,
yeah. and then you notice something is wrong, and then it's kind of hard to fix it. So it's, measure everything before you start to put things on the storage solution.
Exactly.
Right?
You should really rely on whatever you have and say, this is good enough. This is going to be fine. I've been measuring this. I've been testing this. I've been failing it. You know, I trust this solution. Let's run it. And even if the vendor or consultant or whatever, just, you know, ask for numbers. Let's see what it gives you. Before then, because then you know what it's supposed to give you, so then you have a baseline, and later on you can compare that baseline with
your actual numbers.
Yeah.
So what kind of tools do we use for the measurement?
We use two different tools. There is an old, very old tool called SQL.io, which is originally designed by Microsoft to measuring SQL.io load. So we use that. There's a new tool called Disk Speed that's also from Microsoft that has been designed to measure just disks. And the reason why we use two tools is because we use SQL.io because it's really easy. And it's
well known.
It's well known. It's very reliable. But at the same time, we also use Disk Speed because it gives us other parameters and other ways to measure. So we actually use them both.
And then there is also IOMeter.
Yes.
Which a lot of people use.
Yeah.
Which have some really advanced, complicated settings where you can.
Correct.
Use it to measure basically everything.
Yeah.
That one isn't that easy to script.
Exactly. So that's why we use the SQL.io and the Disk Speed application, which you can download from Microsoft. They are scriptable. We wrap them around PowerShell. There are already ready-made wrappers for Disk Speed that you can use to analyze your storage spaces with. So, and since they are scriptable, we can have the output of a report in any form. So that's why.
And so we have, Michael. Can't you show the script that we have made?
I can do that.
Excellent. We have made a PowerShell script, which is a wrapper around SQL.io.
Yeah, I can show you the webpage where I have it. It's on my blog, and the script. If I open it up, and it's going to be here. And that's going to open up a OneDrive. And that's going to give you the script. So it does have a bunch of parameters, but basically what it does is that it's wrapping around this. So we have two ways of measuring. Either we use the getSmallIO, which is just measuring read and write, 8K blocks.
And that's random?
Yes, it's random. And then we have another function called getLargeIO, which is just read. 512K read blocks.
Sequential.
Yeah, so we use the get large IO to get the through output, and we use the get small IO to generate
a
read and write. Yes.
And we will use this script later on, so we just wanted to explain to you about these different parameters. Yeah. You can download the script and analyze it and understand it completely on your own. We will not do that today.
No. But the other script we talked about was the validation script. This is the storage spaces physical disk validation script. This is version 2, which is using the Disk Speed. You can download it from the Microsoft Gallery TechNet site and use this. And it's good to have a couple of tools.
This is a great tool to run and validate all your drives, so you don't have one black sheep or two.
Yeah.
Two drives that are performing worse than the other ones.
Correct.
So let's look at the output from your script, how it can look. Here we have some examples where you measure just a normal HDD drive.
Yes, this is really boring. And the only reason we want to show you this is because this is what a normal SATA drive, I think it's a SAS drive actually, in a normal server, very cheap, really bad. But it doesn't give you more than this. So there's no fancy thing. And you can see a couple of things here. You can see the latency when we do
Let's start from the left. The throughput. Uh-huh. We get about 260 megabyte per second throughput when we are reading 512K blocks, which is large chunks of data.
Yeah. And we can see that the latency has been, it was 1 millisecond, then it's 3, then it's 4, then it's 6. And the reason why it bumps up is because we are adding more outstanding IOs. We are reading more and more parallel tasks to it. So we are loading the disk subsystem to say, just add another thread, just add another thread. And that means that eventually it's going to stop doing more threads because it can't. And in this case, you can see, well, it does the first one, and then you get 268.30, and that has a latency of 3 milliseconds, and the outstanding IOs is 2, and then it doesn't give us anymore. So that drive is congested after 2 outstanding IOs. It's never going to do anything more. That's it. The next measurement is when we do 512 read. We start with 239 megabyte per second, 478, something like that. Let's say 1 millisecond. But you can see the same story, what? 239, 268, then nothing happens because...
It's not increasing anymore.
No. It just stops. So that's a normal drive. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just, it doesn't give you anymore.
So do we have any more examples?
We can look at an SSD drive. So here you can see a picture of a measurement. It's not a picture, but it's a PowerShell prompt. You can see I'm using the same script. The test file is 100 gig in size. And the first one is to do a read and write. I get about 32,000 IOPS. In the first one with 8 outstanding IOPS, I have no latency at all.
Normal?
This is pretty normal. The number of megabytes transferred is approximately the same. Well, it's connected to a SATA interface. It doesn't give us more anyway. And we can see when we hit the other one, which is 9 outstanding IOPS, we get about 53,000 IOPS. Then it doesn't really deliver anymore because, you know, we are congesting not the disk this time, because the disk could actually deliver some more, but the interface is now congested. Second test is transfer, large I/O. We can see that we're reading 512, and we get 296 a megabyte, 483, 539, and then it stops.
Just notice the difference. In the upper test, we're starting at 8 outstanding IOs, while in the bottom one, we're starting at 1.
Exactly. And the script to run it, it's pretty easy. It's just, here's the command line for doing large I/O, and here's for the small I/O. And you can have different outputs if you want to have the grid view. You can do the grid view if you want to. The disk speed application looks slightly different, but if I minimize that, I downloaded it. So if you run disk speed like this, it's going to say, hey, this is the settings you can have. It's like a help file. And then you can use the settings, for instance, create a test file that is 10 gig in size, 100 gig in size, test it for 10 seconds and test it against that file. You run it, it's going to test for 10 seconds, and then it's going to present some information about the information for that particular drive. And this can be wrapped in PowerShell, which we can do, and that is the script we have in the gallery. So that's going to run. Oh, there we go. Same stuff, megabyte per second, total I/O thread, CPU load, things like that. So the most important thing here is to get used to the tool so you are familiar with numbers and figures. Measure anything. Measure your laptop, your server, over the network. Hey, measure over Wi-Fi. It doesn't really matter. So you get comfortable in using that particular tool. So you're used to it.
So it's easy then to see when things go wrong.
Right? Yes, exactly.
So this was a local HDD drive, and this mm-hmm. was a local SSD drive.
Yeah.
So now we have some, we will not run tests, but we have some output from some more
from
real systems.
From real customer scenarios.
So let's take a look at that.
So in this first test, we had a customer who complained that they had some issues, that things were slow. And it turned out that it was related to a bad firmware. And in this case, it's we're doing a test against one SSD drive, and we're getting about 80 megabytes per second and 162 IOPS.
That's really, really, really low.
That's really, really low. And notice the latency.
Which is really, really high.
Yes.
So more or less everything is wrong on this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the upper test, we're doing the large IO test with large chunks, and the bottom one, small requests. And both of them are delivering really, really bad performance.
Yeah. And in this case, it was bad firmware.
We told the customer, when we had identified that, to order some new stuff, some new drives. They did. They ran the same tests and sent me this picture. In the upper one, they're using a two-way mirror with 8 SSD drives. And, well, they do get slightly better results than previously. But in the previous slide, we were using 1 SSD drive. In this case, we're using 8 and still only get 200 megabytes of data. But look at the bottom one. They get about 13 gigabytes per second.
So the other test is just much, much better.
It's huge. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
But in that case, they only used a stripe set.
Yes.
So they're not using a mirroring. They striped all the SSDs and did a new test. And believe it or not, this batch of disks, it was from another vendor, but also a bad firmware, because both vendors were using the same
controller with the same firmware.
Yeah. So they had to trash those drives as well, because they were not allowed to return them since they had opened and used the drives.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good recommendation we have. When you get a bunch of SSD drives and you don't really know if they're going to work, don't open all 400. Just open one and test it. If it gives you decent performance, well, then most likely all the other ones will as well.
So both these pictures show solutions that doesn't really work, right?
Yes, this is terrible.
And the final solution was to get new SSD drives from a third vendor, and they work perfectly fine.
Yeah, in that case, we actually sent 2 SSD drives from our own batch, from our own servers, to the customer. They tried them, realized that it was working really well. They got the numbers they were expecting, so they bought from that vendor instead.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Here's another customer. And most of these scenarios we're going to look at are caused by misconfigurations. It's firmware, it's misconfiguration of the interleave, it could be a misconfiguration of the write-back cache and other settings. It's more or less customers who have been using PowerShell to create their pools and virtual disks, and used all the different parameters that you can use without really knowing what they were doing, and then got bad performance.
Yeah, it's like, what's the maximum we can do over here? Let's try that. Okay. So in this case, we have a bad latency. It's not really bad.
I would say that in this case, it's three-way mirror, 8 columns, 2-tier. So based on our previous episode, that means that we're using 24 SSD drives.
Mm-hmm. Or we get 85 megabyte per second,
or 200 megabytes, something like that.
Yeah,
and okay, the and we get some latency as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we could guess that this would bad firmware as well, but in this case we know that that wasn't the cause.
It took a while to figure out what it was, and suddenly, instead of 80 megabyte per second, it now says 1,134
with 146,000 IOPS.
That's better.
And how about the latency?
I like the latency because it's nothing.
It's zero.
Yeah.
So we haven't even reached the tipping point or the bottleneck of the drives or anything.
So this is a picture showing a solution that is actually working.
Yeah.
Before we have just looked at numbers that were bad in some way.
It's the same system as before,
just that it's now actually configured correctly.
Yeah, so we did reconfigure the drive, storage spaces, and then we just run the same.
And we have a good throughput, we have a good IOPS, and we have a really low latency. So that's more what we're looking for.
Yeah, yes. When we did this, there was a difference in the expression of the face of the customer with the previous picture and this picture, because he was really not happy in the previous picture. In this picture, he was smiling.
Yeah. And the next one is the same system again, but this time you're running from inside a virtual machine over the network through scale-out file server into the storage spaces.
And interesting here is that the latency is extremely low, zero milliseconds. We'll get a decent number of IOPS inside a virtual machine.
If you look at the last line, we're actually getting more than previously. Let's go back to the previous one. That delivered about 1,100 when running locally on the server.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we're getting 1,300. It could be more or less a bit of luck or a difference in test. But in this case, since we're using the scale-out file server, we're actually accessing the drives through both the servers.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little bit more better performance.
And the throughput is also really good.
Yes.
So that's like you said before, when you want to run VMs like this, you need to test this as well.
Yes. So first test on the storage nodes, then test from the Hyper-V host, and then inside the virtual machine to make sure that all the different layers are delivering what you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually the same one as previously, but in this case we're using the large chunks instead of the small ones.
And the interesting thing with this picture is that the IOPS suddenly
We have
drops,
two interesting
right?
things. First of all, the throughput. We're actually getting about 6.5 gigabytes per second over inside a virtual machine and still getting 13,000 IOPS. And we can see that the latency is slowly increasing, but that's still fine. But as Ola mentioned, on the fourth one, we have a small dip. And the reason for that is that the customer, when he did the test, actually paused one of the scale-out file server nodes. So instead of running against both, it's at that point switching to just using one. And we're still getting equally good numbers afterwards.
Mm.
If we proceed to another customer, in this case, everything is wrong with this picture.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's a two-way mirror, two-tier with 8 columns.
Mm.
So we should get some decent numbers,
mm-hmm.
but we're getting low throughput,
mm-hmm.
low IOPS,
and
a massive amount of latency.
Yeah.
And if we look at the next picture, that one is from the same system, and even worse, look at those latency numbers.
Yeah, it's flying up and down.
Yes, and that's what we're looking for. That's really, really bad. That shows us that something is seriously wrong.
So you think 74 milliseconds in latency is bad?
But also look at the throughput.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get 100 meg per second, and another time 1 to 2 gig per second.
Exactly.
And the IOPS are also fluctuating. And that's why we run the tests, to see that the numbers are consistent, they're scaling, they're increasing in a nice curve, so to say, even though we don't paint one. And here on the last picture, we're looking at the same environment after it was fixed. So the picture in the background shows how it looked like when we almost got it right,
mm-hmm.
but we still have quite a lot of latency.
Yeah, we do.
You see, already at like 2 outstanding IOPS, we're starting to see latency. Compare that to the small picture. Unfortunately, that's all I had from this customer. He sent me this picture and told me, wow, now I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's getting, as you see, 1.5 gig per second, 200,000 IOPS with 0 latency and 18 outstanding IOPS. And obviously that was scaling further as well, but that's all I had to show you. So that's how it should look like.
And the important thing is You can't do these kind of measurement if there's any load on the system. So that's why we really stress the fact that you must do all the tests before you put it in production.
And if we go back to one picture, this one we were looking at, the reason that we got these kind of numbers, there can be lots of different reasons. It can be, like we said, firmware, it can be drivers, it can be the cabling and other things. But in this case, it was caused by the power settings in the server. So listen here, when you order a server, mm-hmm. you have heard about this thing called Green IT? Yeah.
Yes.
So have we.
Mm-hmm.
And most servers that are delivered from the hardware vendors are delivered with power settings, Green IT configured still, even though it's not as hot as it used to be for a couple of years ago. But that means that the hardware is trying to control the power settings. And when you start to push things through that, the hardware will take time to adapt, to increase the megahertz, the bus speeds and all that. And that gives us numbers like these. So the solution to that, Michael,
is to configure the server for what we call low latency and high performance. So for any vendor, you can find that. And in those documents, all of them from all of the vendors, it's basically say the same thing. Put it in high performance mode or OS controlled mode, not the dynamic whatever the vendor have. And that needs to be configured on every vendor's platform that we have seen so far.
So we're doing it for the storage nodes and for the Hyper-V hosts.
Yes.
Because we haven't paid a fortune for the hardware to run it at less than half speed and get performance numbers like this.
Yes. And that is very important.
Yeah.
In some cases, the customer knows, but in most, they don't. So it's like having a really fast car with no wheels. It's just, it's kind of fast, but it doesn't move. Well, true.
So to summarize, these pictures you have seen doesn't really show the kind of the speed you can get out of storage spaces. That's not what we're trying to show you. We're not trying to show you that you can get 150,000 or 200,000 IOPS. That's irrelevant in this case. We're just trying to get consistent numbers that we can trust and that shows that things are working as expected.
So find a good tool, learn the tool, learn to understand it and learn to analyze the numbers and learn to see when something is wrong, right?
Yeah.
And try to look for inconsistencies.
And get the baseline.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was all we had for this performance part of our storage spaces course. In the next part, we will have some lessons from the field where we will discuss some different topics and some hard-earned lessons that you have from your different customers.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening and see you soon again.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.